This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why Midway USA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. All right, today we're going to talk about 15 items to stockpile before the coming food shortage. Now, you're probably saying, well, Chuck, I don't even know if there is a coming food shortage. Well, there's always a coming food shortage is what I would tell you. But no, what I'm talking about is inflation. And inflation is coming. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but gas prices have been going up a little bit. I believe OPEC said they're cutting oil production by 200 million barrels a day. I think that's the number. Either way, it's 2% of the world oil supply is being cut. And petroleum is used to make fertilizer. And also, I don't know if you guys know, but there is a war going on over in Ukraine. And this Ukraine, turns out, is a large food supplier. And it turns out, it's not just, you're like, well, I eat meat, and that's not meat. But guess what meat eats? It eats grains and shit that come out of Ukraine. So
right,
these are things, oil comes out of Ukraine. A lot of this going on, it's things we need to prepare for. So basically, let's talk about it. Did you see, so OPEC, they said, hey, we're cutting the oil production because Russia got together with them and they had a little talk. Mm-hmm. And our fearless leader, Biden, goes over and is like, hey, you guys, you know what would be great? If you could just wait 2 months. You know, like maybe after November and then raise gas prices. But that's what he asked for. He didn't say don't raise oil prices and screw us.
Right.
He said, could you wait till after the election? Like he just said, wait 2 months. I interpreted that as right. Wait till after the election. But, you know, whatever. Right. Anyway, 15 items. Kevin, what is the most important thing that we need to stockpile if we are ready for basically food prices to go up? What would we be worried about?
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, I would start with things that, you know, I always see these like food storage lists and things like that, shit you should store up and and stuff you should hang on to, you know, get your canned vegetables and all that sort of stuff. But the, you know, the main thing you need to, we need to focus on is what's going to last forever. You know what I mean? What is, what are going to be the long-term food? So let's just run through a list of stuff that you can get and you can store it and you don't have to worry about rotating your stock and all that sort of stuff. So dried beans and dried rice are right at the top of the list. Now, you can't just, you know, buy them in the bag that they come in and expect that it's going to last forever. Yeah. You know, beans and rice can get insects in it and, you know, do damage to it even when it's stored. A lot of people like to use those Mylar bags, and those are great. Those are great because it doesn't get through there. Oxygen doesn't get in, you know, and it really stores them long term, and it does a good job doing it. There's a lot of different ways you can store it, though. You can can rice, you can rice, you can can beans, all that sort of stuff. You want to have those oxygen absorbers for anything like that that you're going to store dried, you know. That goes for, you know, it goes for anything that's freeze dried, like pastas and things like that too. You want to, the oxygen is what causes the damage to that stuff. Oxygen and moisturizer. So you want to just keep on top of your game when you're packing your stuff. And if you do it right, you should be good for forever with that sort of stuff. Another couple items are popcorn. Sorry, salt.
I like Pop-Tarts.
Sugar, honey, vinegar, liquor. Whiskey is a great prep. Just heads up. Let's see. Instant coffee, soy sauce, maple syrup. You know, a lot of this stuff is things that you can buy off the shelf and put it on your shelf and just keep it there and until you're ready to open it and use it. And I think, you know, nobody wants to be eating rice and bean honey for the rest of their lives, but, you know, it'll keep you alive and moving. And those are things that you can set and forget. You know what I mean? You pack that, store it, get it in a 5-gallon drum and set it up in the basement somewhere. And you're going to be good and ready to go whenever things get really nasty out there. Now, a lot of people do other things like Patriot Supply, MREs, and that sort of, you know, freeze dried food. Those are great. But, you know, you really want to pay attention to the price and the quality of those things. You're going to spend a lot of money for MREs. And if you get My Patriot Supply, you'll save some money, but it's not something you're really going to want to eat, you know? And, you know, there's a balancing act there with right. when it comes to that sort of stuff. I mean, do you really want to starve to death, or you really want to live, you know, without starving to death? But all you've got to eat is rice. I'd fucking kill myself, you know?
Yeah, but wait, what if it's rice and whiskey?
Mm.
If you're like, oh.
Different story altogether, right?
Game changer, right?
Uh-huh.
No, but I like to think, like you said, that long-term food storage, Legacy, My Patriot Supply, a lot of these companies, Agassin Farms, they might be sponsoring this episode. I don't even know yet. Still waiting on some emails. So put a link in the bottom in the show notes. I'm just saying that could be helping out. Mm-hmm. But anyway, these things, they're good for the stuff that you want to cache, the stuff that you want to bury and save or have in that hidden closet that set it and forget it. There's a lot right. of things like that where you can put it away and never have to look at it again. Then you have a whole stock that you need to rotate and go through. The big thing is what do we need now, right? So obviously, if you have and you're trying to focus on immediate and right now and you're new to prepping and this is like a basic, hey, I'm just getting started. This is overwhelming. I don't want to get scared and you know, blow my $5,000 that I have and I'm worried about inflation and every penny I have would be caught up in survival food and stuff like that. Don't panic. We're not there yet. We don't need to panic. We do need to start taking action though. And what I would say is if you have money, we're going to go through and give you a nice list of things that you need to be buying. But if you don't, let's these are, you know, Kevin just went through a big tear of items that you should be picking up extra. But how about when you go to the store, you buy an extra, you know, you buy two items instead of one with certain things. You know, you're like, hey, you know, I'm getting kind of low on honey. Let me buy another honey to put on the shelf. Guess what? You're at Sam's Club, 25-pound bag of rice, Costco, wherever you go, you know, wherever you buy bulk. Walmart, right? Everybody can go to Walmart, and they have big bags of rice. 5-gallon bucket at Lowe's. You put the rice in there, pack it up, get as much air out because you load it up as much as you can. You seal that up. That's going to last 2-3 I got to say, I've kept them as long as 5 years and not seen anything in it. I know Mayhem Country Living. Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. And I always get confused. But Mayhem Country Living did a video on freezing the stuff before you pack it up and killing the insects and things like that. That seemed to work out really well. And he had good results with that. You may want to check that out. And too much honey, you can make mead. That's right. An option, right?
It's never
forget. But so the bottom line is you buy a couple of extra items each time and you start putting away. The idea is to start somewhere, start doing, you know, how when you start a savings account or whatever as a child and you're like, oh, I put a dollar in there. I have a dollar. But after 5 weeks, you have $5 and you're like, oh, that's getting to be something, you know, maybe as a grown up, maybe it's $50 a week and you have $250 after, you know, a couple months or whatever. You know what I mean? I can do math, but, you know, a month and a quarter there, whatever, but it adds up. And that's right. The thing, you keep going and building, and that's what you need to do. You need to start, but you need to start practical things that are going to last a little bit, but things that are going to work. So in a perfect world, we do the long-term food storage. We get a decent, probably, I would say expensive food storage, long-term stuff that's going to last 25 years. I would want 6 months for my family. And that's a ridiculous amount of money. All right. That is.
That's a lot of food. Right.
It's a lot of food. It's a lot of money. So I wouldn't go crazy. I wouldn't run out and do that in a day. That's something you plan and save up for. That's an ideal situation. That stuff I would have hidden somewhere, whether it's cached and buried, whether it's in some kind of secret hiding place, but I would have that. Then I would move into my rotatable stuff. And these are your things like rice and your honey and that kind of thing. These are things that are going to last a bit longer, but you still need to be checking on it and rotating through it. I actually buy 25-pound bags of rice, and I actually use 25-pound bags of rice. I know that sounds insane, but it's true. My family, the way we cook, we do things, we set it aside. Now, mind you, I'm not eating a lot of the rice, but people in my house are. And so that works out great. There's other things that are great belly fillers that will last a good 2 years. I know at Sam's Club, I buy like the big bulk pancake mix, right? That stuff, you can fill a lot of bellies and a lot of calories. The one that I get there doesn't require eggs. However, I have chickens. I can add eggs to that and even thicken it up and up the protein. But it makes it so that my kids aren't eating eggs every morning, right? They might have something different, you know, or basically I can have pancakes for lunch or for dinner and eggs for breakfast or vice versa. You know, you have options. But you have something, you look like you're chomping there.
Well, I heard somebody was talking about coffee. Christopher was talking about coffee. Coffee is one of those tricky things, not really great for long-term storage. Yes, you can get coffee and stick it in your freezer and it'll last forever. But, you know, hypothetically, you might not have freezer space and you might not have a working freezer that's going to, you know, that's going to be running all the time for the next 15, 20 years. So one of the terrible options is instant coffee. You can get instant coffee and it lasts forever. Keep it sealed up and it'll last, you know, 15 years, you can open that thing up and it'll still be still be right. shitty instant coffee, but it'll be coffee. And it'll better be than drinking tea, like those terrible people on the other side of the ocean. But it is something you can do, and you can, you know, you can have your coffee as long as you need it. And I stock up on instant coffee. You know, personally, I have it, and I use it if I'm in a rush. I use it. You know, put a little like you said, put a little bit of whiskey in there, and it'll taste just like regular shitty coffee. Yeah, see, I see this chicory root as a sub for coffee, and you can do that, and it's mediocre. It's not awful, but right. it's not coffee, and it's probably about as good as instant coffee is. So both of those are pretty good options.
All right. Now, nobody likes the British and, like you said, confuse people in their tea, but mm-hmm. I have put the wife in charge of figuring out some kind of plants she can be growing that we can make tea and things out of. So far, she hasn't come back with anything that I want to drink every morning. I'm just saying, I'm sticking with the coffee.
Well, let me give you a heads up. I've been drying all my lemon balm out, hanging it up and drying it. That's pretty good. It's not tea, but you can mix it in with tea and you know, kind of stretch that tea a little bit further. Now, tea, if you keep it in a dry, good spot, you got about 2 years for it. It's really not a long-term item. You know what I mean? It's something that if you have in your house and the lights go out, that's great, but you have to keep rotating through that tea in the meantime, you know? That's something that you want to keep up on if you're really into tea.
Right. No, exactly. Tea, there's a million places to start here with this. I also like the morning beverage. I actually have a bunch of Black Rifle has those pretty well vacuum packed bags of coffee, mm-hmm. and they sell big, like 5 pound bags. And I threw those in 5 gallon buckets with, you know, some moisture packs and whatever. But again, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to keep, you know. I know my Patriot Supply does sell the bulk freeze dried coffee. I don't know. I do know that you can turn over a lot of stuff like the pancake mix, the rice, the stuff like that, canned meats, that kind of stuff. You can rebuy that like 5 times and not have that 25 year shelf life. You know what I'm saying? For the same amount of money that you pay for the long-term food. So right now it's pretty realistic that food prices are going to go up. It's pretty realistic to think, hey, I'm going to probably be able to use some of this stuff. And guess what? I may be able to trade or barter if money's tight with this food, or I just might be able to, you know, help out a friend, right? I might be able to say, hey, you know, you came over and did this work for me. How about I give you a 25 pound bag of rice because money's tight? And, you know, hey, that helps out. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of thing, you know, or hey, you know, I have an extra 5 pounds of coffee and it expires in the next 3 months. I feel like I don't want to keep it any longer. Let me help you out with that. You have coffee and don't have to spend $50 a month on coffee like I do. And mm-hmm. you can, you know, move on. So these are things you want to be looking at. But there's some other things that are outside the basic food preps, right? So we have rice, we have pancake mix. I buy syrup. Syrup does not last. It lasts like a year and a half, 2 years if you buy that corn syrup bullshit that, you know, it's not as pretty before it starts to get a little funny. Would I still eat it in 3 years if that's all I had? Yeah, I would. But, you know, I mean, it's something that one of those things that about. Right.
It'll last a lot longer if you have it sealed up. You know, an open container of maple syrup that's not really maple syrup isn't, you know, it's going to go bad a lot faster.
Right.
But keeping it sealed is a big, and I would say that with most food products, you know, the longer you can keep it sealed up in the original container, the better, unless the original container is not great. Like most bags of rice and things like that, you know, you might want to repackage some of that stuff. Same thing with honey. I wouldn't open that up until you're really getting ready to use it. And, you know, it just goes, you know, you just air in your food. That's the main thing.
Right. And once you expose it to bacteria, that kind of stuff, then, you know, that's what you, you know, you're asking for trouble. But again, you do what you got to do. So there's a couple of things outside the food that you might want to store in order to prepare for a coming food shortage. And that's kind of a, you know, contradiction, but it makes sense. You know, this is how we prepare. One, you might want to think about getting some cash, silver, gold, coins, that kind of thing. Keep it on hand. Cash so that when things start to get ugly, you can go to the store. You can do that kind of thing. Ammo. Ammo, brass, primers, all that stuff has come back down a little bit to reasonable. Not cheap, but reasonable prices. Where you might want to think about, you know, doing that right now, you might want to stock up a little bit. If I didn't have my food situation squared away, I probably wouldn't be moving into the ammo situation right now. I would focus on food first. But if I'm like, you know what, Chuck, my food supply is all pretty good, I'm pretty squared away, I really need to know what I should be doing. Well, guess what? One, you should have a couple grand in cash, like 2,000 set aside. Now, if the world you live in, that's completely unrealistic, maybe that number is 500 you set aside. And maybe it takes you a couple months to get it there. But you just put aside a little bit every month. And, you know, hey, $200 a month until you build up into a reasonable stockpile of money. Having money on hand is nice. Plus, when you see, hey, that four-wheeler is on Facebook yard sale for $1,200 and that's a steal because it's four-wheel drive, you're like, hey, I have money in the safe. I'll be right over there in 10 minutes.
Right.
See? I'm making your world a better place right now. Another thing you might want to consider stockpiling is gas, kerosene, propane, diesel. Don't let your propane tank get empty. Don't, you know, if you have some for the grill or if you use it for your heat, that kind of thing, keep it on the fuller end because prices are only going up. Gas. Now, gas doesn't keep that well. Think about stable. Think about rotating it through. 6 months to a year if you keep the cans full where you basically the reason I say keep the cans full is you'll get humidity and condensation will get in there and that moisture will start to mess things up. But if you keep the can full, there's a lot less of that going on. Something to be aware of. But if you're rotating through gas once a year, that's no problem. You don't even really need to worry about stable at that point. Should, believe it or not, if for storage you want non-ethanol gas, although I've heard mixed reviews on that, the ethanol tends to go bad. I've heard people say the exact opposite. Do your own research. I know I go with non-ethanol if I'm trying to keep it. I would say diesel. Diesel and kerosene. One, kerosene is super universal. If you can buy it for about the same price as diesel, you may want to go that way. What happens with kerosene is you don't pay the over-the-road tax because you're not putting it in a vehicle typically. Check your vehicle, see if it's, you know, kerosene is an option for, again, an emergency situation when things aren't available. Maybe that's, you know, another way you could go. But kerosene will store longer. But diesel, as long as you don't have it in freezing temperatures where it might gel up, diesel will last a good year and a half. I you know, that's something, again, you should be rotating through. I know I keep several cans for my tractor where I basically keep a year's supply of diesel for my tractor and I rotate it through. And so that way it's never more than a year old. I keep it in the barn. It doesn't get that cold in there. That's another thing. Now, another thing you might want to consider would be some storage items, things that you could keep your food and stuff. Find a place that has the cheap 5 gallon buckets and lids and that kind of thing. Buy several. Buy the plastic storage totes that you could cache items. Again, your budget is going to dictate, you know, what kind of quality and what kind of things you get. But something that's going to keep the mice out of your toilet paper is going to be better than, you know, not spending any money and then coming out and finding all your stuff is useless. or pulling up that bag of rice and it falls out and you see mouse poop all in it. You know, that's not the way to go. Kevin, more thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about seed storage. You know, we get into these head spaces of storing food and storing different things, but we're not planning next year. I know this year I had an issue. I wasn't able to grow any spinach this year because I couldn't find any spinach seeds anywhere, which is ridiculous. I can find them now, and so I bought them, and I have them for next year.
Right.
But a lot of people were gardening this year, and there was kind of a run on seeds when things started coming out. So you didn't have every option available that you normally would. So seed storage and gardening, those are both big parts of food storage. I know right now, I haven't even planted potatoes, but I have potatoes growing in my compost bin. You know, those are great things because they can stay in the ground. You can dig those up whenever. Now, same thing with carrots. You can dig that up in the middle of winter and it'll still be a carrot. Pull it out of there and throw it in the soup. You're ready to go, ready to party. A lot of these things are, people talk about foraging. Some really good at that, really good at spotting and identifying plants and grabbing them. And, mushrooms, different things. Great. That's a great skill to have. But growing your own food, will really help you out as far as you being able to pick out what you want to grow and know what it is that's growing there. You know what I mean? A lot of people can walk past a potato plant or a carrot and not even realize what's growing right there. You know, if you're doing the gardening and you grow these vegetables, you'll start seeing these vegetables growing wild, and you'll get a better idea of what's edible and what's not edible.
Right. No, I like it. Now, if you're enjoying these pro tips that Kevin's got for you, and I have a good one coming up next, but you may want to and subscribe if you guys haven't done that. You may want to subscribe to the podcast if you're listening on the podcast or the YouTube channel here. Just saying. That's options you guys might have. So just putting that out there, y'all might want to, do that kind of thing. But anyway, here's a pro tip that you guys have been waiting for. Apocalypse happens, end of the world. You're like, I didn't listen to Kevin and Chuck and I did not stockpile any seeds. Where am I going to get any? Well, I used to work at the sewer plant with Kevin. Mm-hmm. And that is a gold mine of seeds. All the time, those tomatoes were just popping up right out of the poos.
Pro tip. They grow in human shit really well.
Human shit. You're like, wait, there were tomatoes there the whole time. And, they come with extra
half tomatoes and half pot plants.
Pot plants? Well, that's where you live.
For you kids that are listening, marijuana used to have seeds in it. It would come with seeds in the bag
back in the day.
And people would flush those down the toilet. Right, all you kids with your brownies and your fancy shit today,
Yeah. They're killing me. Right. Just saying, putting that out there. So that's the pro tip. Check out your local sewer plant if you guys need seeds. What else? So what other kind of food would you be storing, Kevin? Is there any other that you really like? I mean, I know we saw a big shortage on bread. So flour doesn't keep that well. Again, that's where your Mylar bags come into play. Again, the freezing kind of helps with getting rid of any bugs. Mylar bags, then 5-gallon buckets. Flour is a tough one to store. Sugar and salt, tough ones to store. Especially salt always comes in those freaking cardboard boxes. Mm-hmm. And if there's any kind of humidity or anything like that, it just freaking turns into a mess. So if you can find salt in a great storage container, even better. I mean, obviously we see the small plastic containers. Those are great, but it gets expensive to buy it that way. They do sell big plastic bags of salt, but bottom line, look around. If you do have a place that you look, you do like curing meat and that kind of thing, there are places that sell the big bulk bags and they're intended to be stored of salt. Mm-hmm. You might do well with that. Again, if you're willing to pay more money, depends, you know, what your world's made of, but they sell sugar in these plastic containers that you can do. And that's great, but you pay like three times as much. So if you can come up with your own plastic containers, shit. I mean, honestly, if you cleaned and dried, you could do gallon milk jugs and fill them with sugar out of a paper bag and store those. You would be a world better than, you know, somebody else who didn't store any.
Right.
Because sugar, flour, that kind of stuff is going to be awesome in the end of the world. You might want to work that out with your flour. I don't know. You'd have to have it like really clean, and it sounds tough, but look into that. I would also say yeast. Yeast was a big thing when COVID hit, when nobody was able to get bread. That was a huge thing, and it just wasn't available anywhere. That's something you want to set aside and store. And Kevin will mention, you know, he carries some yeast in his armpit all the time because, you know, you keep it warm, you keep it growing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what you learned that at some kind of like Renaissance fair or something, you found out that's what they used to do in yesteryear. Mm-hmm. It turned out the baker would go from town to town and keep the yeast in his armpit. And that was, you know, another secret of the pros. So I'm just saying, you got to keep your options open. I would also say that I would look into animals. Animals are another great option for the, you know, inflation, right? So if I have chickens throwing out eggs, now again, you kind of got a free range because these chickens are not that cheap to feed, right? Feed is expensive and it can kick your ass. So you got to pay attention to what you're doing. But if you can, like my wife loves to throw out lots of feed. We have fat chickens and they're just like living the life of Riley, right? But in a perfect world, you should have scrawny chickens that are just laying eggs every year. And they should be eating the bugs and the ticks and the everything else instead of the nice corn and shit you feed them. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think that's a big step, a pro tip for anybody that's got space. Chickens are really easy to take care of, especially if they're free range and you don't mind, you know, a fox snatching one or two every once in a while. It happens. If you're gonna free range, there's that stuff outside that loves to eat chickens. But they, you know, the amount of eggs that I have. I'm getting eggs every week, and it's only me and my wife. You know what I mean? There's no way I can eat all these eggs. And, you know, it's great right now. I can just, you know, give them to neighbors. Everybody loves getting free eggs. But when the time comes and all I've got is eggs, it's a lot better to have a couple of eggs, you know?
Yeah.
Goats are another one. I have never raised a goat. I've had goats I lived on a farm with goats that somebody heard of. They're great animals. They eat. They're smart like dogs. They're fun animals to have around. And they produce a lot of milk. And, you know, goat meat is really, it's one of my favorite types.
Goat meat is and, really, you know, good.
Just keep that in.
Yeah. No, that's definitely a way to go there. Yeah, rabbits. You guys know I'm always pushing rabbits. Kevin threw a little tribute in his name there.
One thing I gotta put out here because I'm just fucking sick of it. Every fucking time somebody makes rabbits, everybody starts talking about rabbit starvation. Oh, rabbit starvation! You gotta watch out for rabbit starvation. You know what else causes you to starve? Not having any rabbits at all. Rabbit starvation comes when you're not the appropriate amounts of fat and oils. You can do that with a million other things and still get a belly full of protein. Rabbits are a great survival food, and everyone acts like it's like you're gonna die if you eat rabbits. It's not the case. Rabbits are fine. A lot of
there
meat,
was
they produce they just they're just having babies nonstop, you know. always.
Right.
And that, what I mean, they reproduce like, you know, they're just great for that sort of stuff. And
like rabbits.
And yes, it's true that if you don't eat anything except for rabbits for months, you can still starve to death. But
that is true.
You're not going to find yourself in many situations where the only food you have is rabbit for months on end.
Yeah, but here's the deal. You have the option of no rabbits and no other food, or rabbits and no other food. I like the rabbit option.
Right.
I think that actually came from, I actually saw it back when it happened. I want to say the first time that kind of became a big push, it was like Bear Grylls or that Survivor Man show. One of those way back. He was out there and he's like, well, you know, you can't just eat rabbit. And actually, he didn't even say that. He was like, look, if you eat just rabbit meat, you're going to die. You're going to still starve to death because you're not getting the fat. So I recommend eating the eyeballs and some of the other organs because that'll give you the fat. And then it works out. But everyone's like, oh, nope, I heard him say it. And I mean, he drinks his own pee. So we're good, right?
He knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. And I say, does he know what he's doing? I like that chubby guy. Who's that old man who had a show just like that? Is that Survivor Man or one of them? There was another guy who's like,
I don't remember.
He's not drinking his own pee. There was another guy at the same time. I don't know. And he was just like, yeah, you know, I get some of this, I get some of that. But the bottom line is rabbits reproduce like crazy and they're a great added meat supply. Guess what? Turns out if you stockpile some like chicken bouillon and some rice and you had some rabbits, guess what? You'd be living pretty fucking good. That's what I'm saying.
Living large.
Things would be a lot better, right? Than if you didn't have rice, rabbit meat. And guess what you could trade for all kinds of good stuff? Rabbit meat. Turns out people would be into that. I'm just saying cheap, easy to you know, raise. Easy to deal with. Rabbits are awesome. And my wife is ecstatic about rabbit poop. She's like, oh, I can compost that. That's going to be great. You know, use it in the garden, whatever. You know, that's the kind of thing. You got to realize that, you know, this stuff has, if you use the whole animal, plus the furs, if you figure out what you're doing there, turns out you can do a lot of cool things, right? You can use every part of the animal. Turns out it's great for the planet. Instead of all this bullshit that everybody's like, oh, you know, if we eat meat, it's going to be the end of the world. Well, you know, maybe that's ridiculous. All right. That's all I can tell you. A couple of notes. I said OPEC was going to cut back 200 million barrels a day. It's 2 million barrels a day, which is still 2% of the world's oil supply. I just I don't want to put out false information. I kind of already did, but now I'm making the correction so y'all can stay calm. Africa was having a big drought. A lot of people, climate change. Turns out, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but you've heard about companies can't find good employees. Now, I also want to point out companies aren't paying relative to inflation. And that's why they can't find good employees, because everyone's like, I can just not work and be just as good. So something to think about. But there is a lot of things going on in the world that are going to drive prices up and cut food production down. And I'm just saying it's coming back. You know, I started to mention in the beginning of the episode, we have the national debt is insane, right? We're over $30 trillion. And basically, the production of goods were not keeping up. Now, what's ironic is the Federal Reserve is keeping the interest rate at 5% or around there. The bottom line, that's actually not even where it should be. We're so upside down with inflation that we really need to raise it even higher to kind of bring things back into check and reality. They're not going to do that because we'd all freak out. Well, but the problem is they're basically protecting themselves. And here's the bigger secret that nobody wants you to know is if the interest rate goes up even higher, we can't afford our debt. Right now, they're loaning themselves money based on nothing at a 1% interest rate. If it just went up to 2%, we couldn't afford to pay it. That's how insane that is. So they're trying to keep interest rates down to keep the illusion going. And I'm just saying, inflation is coming and you guys need to prepare. You need to have your things in order. And the best way to have things in order, we can only get so much money, right? We can only bring in so much. But what you can do is you can find ways to take care of yourself. You can find ways to raise your own stuff, to be, you know, that's what we're always trying to do, is become more self-sufficient. And that's what it comes down to, is can I take care of myself? And guess what? When you can take care of yourself, you don't need the government. And that's really what it comes down to, is to get to a point where we don't need the government. Now,
right?
Obviously, you know, they can go out and we can have policemen and that'll be great, but you get the idea. Now, if you enjoyed this, do us a favor, like, subscribe to the podcast again. I would, and you know, to the YouTube comments, we love to hear them. They also actually help spread the word, because it ends up growing the credibility. So if you have something to say, definitely, you know, feel free to reach out. You can email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. We do respond to emails. You also may want to check out our website. It's preppingbadass.com. And there we have a link to the podcast. We also have some badass gear. We have some cool shirts. We have some cool things that you could be wearing, help support the brand, you know, help build the popularity. You also, we have an email list you can sign up. Turns out Facebook, YouTube, they don't like guys who talk about guns. They don't like guys who kind of are anti-government. They're always kind of, especially Facebook, is always kind of put the hammer down and be like, oh, you guys are just spreading fear. And, you know, they're trying to shut us down. So if you want to stay connected, you probably want to get on the email list and sign up over there. Otherwise, I would say,
I got one more thing before we wrap.
Go ahead.
Buck.
Yeah.
Talking about food and food storage and stuff, I just wanted to talk real quick about one of my favorite recipes. We got different, you know, stuff in here. So listen up. You can try this weekend. So you're going to want to start with four chicken thighs, right? And you're going to marinate it. You're going to marinate it for about a half hour with NyQuil. You're going to want to get the cherry flavored NyQuil.
Cherry.
And then you put it in a cooking dish, 50 for 3 minutes with aluminum foil over the top. You're going to wait until that NyQuil gets like real thick, you know, real thick and syrupy. And then, you know, you take out, everybody gets one chicken breast. If you get a little bit sleepy, that's normal. It's got the chicken has that stuff that turkey has in it. That's probably where it's coming from. But you know, I like to add a little bit of clove in there. It gives it a nice flavor. You know, cooking tip, pro tip from me.
That's all I got
for the day.
All right. So with that, stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self Defense Radio Network.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device.